Take your Bibles, if you will, please, and turn to 1 Kings, the 4th chapter division, 1 Kings chapter 4. We're looking at a bit of the history of the Jews, Israel, and we think of this as being one of the golden ages of history under Solomon's rule and Solomon's reign, 1 Kings chapter 4. Somebody has said the golden age is usually either past or we're looking forward to it. And in a way, that is really true. There is a sense in which the golden age has passed. There have been those times, and then there, of course, is a sense in which there's going to be a golden age, and we want to look at that also today. 1 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 20. The Bible says, Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. Sort of a good picture here. And Solomon reigned over all the kingdoms from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. And Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region on this side the river, from Tipsah even to Azah, over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon. Well, that's a good picture and a good report and a good bit of history that tells us of a good time when the northern and southern kingdoms were together under the rule of Solomon. Solomon reigned in what would be called the golden age of Israel, a good time for them, a wonderful time. This, I believe, foreshadows for us today the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a little picture, a little reminder of what it's going to be when Jesus, the greater Solomon, is also going to have the golden age here on the face of the earth. The past tells us something about the future, and this reminds us of what a great future we're going to have. We think, first of all, about the monarch, about the king, about the one who is in charge here. On this occasion, it is Solomon. And you remember what Solomon asked God for? He didn't ask him for fame and popularity, but he said, "Give me what? Wisdom." He wanted wisdom, and he had great wisdom. He was a man that could reason things out. We saw that when they brought the little baby and the two harlots were making a decision about who the baby really belonged to, and Solomon had to ultimately make that decision. He was a man of great reasoning and wisdom and success. But there's one greater, far greater than Solomon, and that is the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great monarch. He is the prince that is wiser than Solomon. Colossians 2:3 says, "In him," that is Jesus, "in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." You want to have wisdom and knowledge, you'll find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Nobody else is going to give that to you. And so we have the great monarch, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who is going to be the all-wise ruler. And Solomon also, we notice, ruled in the fear of the Lord. He ruled in the fear of the Lord. And he followed the precepts of his father. And he did what the father had wanted him to do and what the father had taught him to do. His father was David. And he excelled in many of those areas. The precepts of the father were kept. That reminds us of Jesus Christ, the great monarch. The Lord Jesus Christ did everything that his father expected him to do. And I'm glad that this great and mighty monarch according to the Bible, is going to rule one of these days, and he's going to reign, but he's going to rule and reign in righteousness. He won't allow this mess of sin like we see today. Isaiah said, "This king shall reign in righteousness." He is the King of glory. He is the King of kings. And Solomon is but a type of our great King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He should be the King of your life today. Should be the Lord of our life. If you're born again, he should be. Well, what about the empire? Solomon had an empire. A great and mighty empire that they describe in these verses. Verses 21 and 24 talk about the extent of his empire. Verse 21 says, Solomon reigned over all kingdoms, all of the kingdoms, from the river unto the land of the Philistines and unto the border of Egypt. That's a lot of geographical territory. He reigned over that. Verse 24 said he had dominion over the region on this side the river, from Tipsah even to Azah, over all the kings on this side the river, and he had peace on all sides round about him. Boy, he was very successful. Can you imagine over in the Middle East, over in that territory where there's so much chaos right now, Solomon was reigning, and people on both sides of the river were at peace with him, and all of the kingdoms were under his control. What a wonderful, wonderful king, and what a one that God had blessed. And that was the extent of it. But Christ is going to have a greater rule and a greater reign and a greater empire than all of that. Psalm 72:8, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth. Greater than Solomon, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, it's sort of in a mess today. Wars and rumors of wars and all the problems we have. But fret not. God is in control. God is allowing what he allows. He's carrying out his sovereign will so that one of these days a trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first. We which remain and are alive will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he's going to come back 7 years later and set up his kingdom from sea to shining sea all over the world. All over this global earth, this planet that everybody's so worried about, trying to keep green and everything, one of these days the Lord is going to make it all green. Don't worry about it. It's going to be in good shape. Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world, all of the kingdoms, a lot of kingdoms out there, but the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Amen and hallelujah to it. The greater Solomon is going to reign all over the earth. For how long? That's the extent of it. Well, he tells us right here, forever and ever. Thank God Jesus is going to come back as King of Kings, and he will rule from the very throne of David, literally rule over all the earth, and there will be no end to his kingdom. Solomon had just a short duration. It was a good duration, and longer than most. And if he had done right, might have been even longer, but he got messed up at the end of his dominion and reign. But that will not happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he will reign forever and ever. What about the subjects? The numbers of his reign here are very many. Go back to verse 20. Judah and Israel were many as the sand which is by the sea in multitude. They're eating and drinking, making merry. He said, there's so many of them there that they're ruling with Solomon. He said, it's just like the sand of the sea. And he was talking about the many in number. But thank God, Christ is going to rule over all, and all of his subjects will be ruling and reigning with him. Revelation 7:9, the great multitude, the Bible says, the Revelator said, which no man could number. There's going to be a lot of people with the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom. All of the saints down through the ages ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. And every one of them he paid for. They were blood bought just like you and I if we were saved today. Made part of the family of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of characters are going to be there? Well, thank God, Jews and Gentiles. Now, when we become saved, we are in Christ. And we're no longer looked upon necessarily as Jew or Gentile, so on and so forth. We're in Christ. But Jews and Gentiles are going to be there. Verses 21 and 24 tell us about who's going to be there. And he's talking about both Jews and in the regions he's talking about, it included the Gentiles. So Jews and Gentiles were in the rule of Solomon. And he was reigning as a Jewish potentate over Jews and Gentiles that were included. I think there'll be three kinds of subjects in the rule and reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing we need to recognize about these subjects is there will be, not like Solomon, be unlike him, there will be no forced labor, and there will be no bondage, and there will be no burdens. That's better than what Solomon had. Under Solomon's reign, there were burdens, there was some bondage, and people had to do things they didn't want to do, and they had to do everything the king wanted them to do. But thank God, when we are under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, there will be no bondage, there will be no forced labor, and thank God there will be no burdens. I like that part of it. We are cumbered down with a lot of burdens in this life, and many of you walked in this building today with heavy burdens on your heart. One of these days, my friend, that might be true in the reign of Solomon, might be true right now, but one of these days all of that will be taken care of. And whenever there's a ruling and reigning with Christ, no rest will really be required, because he said they rest not day and night. We'll serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and then all in his kingdom are going to be holy. It wasn't true in Solomon's, but everybody in the kingdom of Christ is going to be holy. There will be no Jeroboam who led them away from God. And ever you keep reading in the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings, and they'll say he didn't follow his father, but he followed after his father Jeroboam. They reached generation after generation, going all the way back to the one who led them astray. There will be no Jeroboams in the kingdom of Christ raising up their heads and getting away with it. If they even tried, Jesus will put them down with a rod of iron. A great multitude. It's a beautiful picture of a beautiful society. A great multitude of holy people forever and ever living at peace with God and in eternal joy. These people had it for a while, but we're going to have it forever. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Eternal peace, eternal joy. Some of you today here don't even have peace. You don't have peace right now. You're not saved. Your sins, you still feel the guilt of it and the pressure of it, the weight of your sin. You know you're guilty. But my friend, the only way you'll ever have peace is to come to Jesus Christ. And he'll give you peace that passes all understanding instantly and immediately. And then you will be headed for that eternal sphere of eternal joy, eternal peace with Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that day when we'll be with him. Well, what about the reign of Solomon? Well, Solomon had a good, peaceful reign. Verse 24 talks about that. And it talks about the peace that was there. And I'm glad that he had that peace. But Messiah is going to have a greater peace than that. One of these days, we're not going to have to worry about nuclear weapons. We're not going to have to worry about warheads. We're not going to have to worry about our loved ones being in Iraq and fighting. The Bible says that they'll beat their swords into plowshares, Isaiah 2:4. Thank God that's going to happen. That's just a sign of peace. And the lion and the lamb will lie down together. Try that today. See how that works. But one of these days, you see, all nature, not only are we redeemed and saved, but all nature is waiting for that redemption, to wit, that time when Jesus Christ will put back in place what was lost in the Garden of Eden. What a blissful, glorious, marvelous, peaceful place that is going to be. And the King, Jesus Christ, by the way, he's called the Prince of Peace. And he'll bring peace in your heart now, and he'll bring peace in all of the world. We want to keep singing about the Prince of Peace. There will be joyous occasion and prosperity. Verse 20 talks about that again. Look at them. They were in Solomon's kingdom eating, drinking, making merry. You talk about having a good time. I'll have homemade biscuits in heaven. Amen. Some of you are here Wednesday night. I'll have homemade biscuits in heaven, or something like that. Some kind of heavenly manna. I'm getting more in trouble, more and more in trouble. But thank God we're going to enjoy it. You know that? The vine and the fig tree of this kingdom remind me of a time when the Bible says there will be the tree of life in the midst there. And from the tree of life, 12 manner of fruit. And that would be a wonderful time. God's going to provide all of our needs in heaven. Supply everything. It's going to be a glorious place. The river of the water of life flowing there. And all of these things that are going to be there. Thank God for that. We're going to reign with Him eternally. I'm glad for that. The reign with Jesus Christ. It will be a co-eternal reign with Jesus Christ. How long is He going to last? Is there going to be a time when Jesus ceases to be and ceases to exist? Absolutely not. We will co-reign, co-eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, "At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Where is that? At the right hand of Jesus. Pleasures, wonderful pleasures, for how long? Forevermore. I'm glad, dear friend, it is absolutely never going to end. And God lets us get a glimpse right here, looking at Solomon and his kingdom. You know, Solomon is a type of Christ, the greater son of David. But there's a greater son of David, and that is Jesus. His reign will be wonderful. His reign will be eternal. There will be thousands upon thousands upon thousands for whom Jesus died, who are going to rule and reign with Him. I want to ask you a question today. Are you ready to meet God? Are you saved? Are you born again? You say, well, those are phrases I thought went out 2 decades ago. Oh, no. They're still in the Bible. They're still there. And you must be born again. Friend, you're going to miss all of this if you're not saved. If you're not truly born again. You say, well, how do I get this born again experience? You realize you're lost. You recognize what the Bible clearly teaches, that all of us are sinners. Let me be very brief and very plain about it. You have to realize that you're on your way to hell. There's a real hell. Did you know that? I've said it before. I wish I didn't believe in hell. I get to thinking about hell sometime and somebody dying and going to hell and suffering forever and ever and ever. Just as we will reign co-eternally with Him, there will be those who will suffer in eternity without end in a horrible, terrible place called hell. I wish I didn't believe in it, but I've got to believe in it because I believe what the Bible says. And the Bible is the Word of God. There is a hell. Friend, you don't want to go there. But thank God the gospel, the good news, the good report to you is that Jesus died on the cross. And we lift Him up and say He paid for your sin debt, every last bit of it. And if you'll come to Him and be born again, ask Him to save you, He'll put all of your sin, past, all of it. Don't worry about it. Present and future, under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad the blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If you're here today and you are saved and you failed God and there's something in your life, and you know the devil fights and the devil tempts us and sometimes we yield to that, make it right with God today. Make it right with the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, the one you're going to stand before someday, the one you're going to share the kingdom with forever and forever. Start living right for Him today. Make things right with God today. If they're not right in your life, we're going to face Him someday. Hallelujah. There's good and there's bad in that because we're going to give an account for everything done in our body. But thank God we're going to, if we're under the blood, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus, the greater Solomon. What a kingdom He's going to have. What a glorious time. Don't be discouraged. Don't be despondent. Don't get down. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give out. Just keep on serving the Lord. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, and I ask again, If you're not sure you're saved, listen carefully. If you're not sure that you're saved, please step out in a moment without waiting and come to the front. Workers will be here, and we'll show you in private exactly how you can be saved. We don't want any boy, any girl, any man or woman to leave this building lost today. Sir, are you sure you're going to go to heaven if you died this afternoon today? Ma'am, are you sure? Young boy, young girl, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? If not, please step out and come and settle that. If not, you may die and miss it. Christ could come today, this very day. He could return in the air, call out his bride, and you'd be left here. Makes no sense. Be sure that you have accepted Christ. Step out. Don't be embarrassed. Come and receive him. Christian, what has God said to you today? If God's leading you to make this your church home, may you come. God bless. We give the invitation to you. It is yours. Thank you, dear God, for the story of Solomon, for this little glimpse of a prototype of the real thing, the shadow of the reality and the fulfillment when Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth. Thank you for the greater Solomon. Lord, some people here have never trusted him as the king of their life today. They've never been saved. I pray they would be. I pray they would come today. Whatever the need may be. Lord, we know you speak through your word and your spirit. May we respond as you speak to our hearts in Christ's name.